going to go to our message today. This message is called, I've been dealing with this message for about 2 weeks now. And I've tried to do it my way, and then God said, you're going to do it the way I want you to do it, or you're not going to do it. So I decided that his way was easier. We have a choice. We always have a choice. God gave us our own free will and volition that we have the choice to make for our lives. This message is live for God or die like a coward. When you heard that. Make up your mind, make a choice to live for God or die like a coward. And we've seen cowards all through the Bible. Amen. We're going to start in Samuel. The book of Samuel. 1 Samuel, the 31st chapter. 1 Samuel, the 31st chapter. Now we know that the people of Israel, they wanted a king. Uh-huh. They didn't want God, they wanted a king.
Amen. Right. Amen.
So God gave them what they wanted, a king.
Yeah.
Little did they know that their king was going to get wrapped up in his own flesh and decide he was greater than God, Mom. That he was a big shot. And he actually was, because if you do some research on Saul, Saul was all close to 6'8", 6'9", and he weighed close to 300 pounds, and he was all muscle. So he was a big fella. He could have played on some of these football teams we got. The 31:1. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. Now you have to understand something. David's fighting also another battle in which he's kicking some butt. David and his guys, they kicking some butt. Saul's getting his whipped. The difference is, David made a choice that God was his God. And he wasn't going to lose like a coward. So he fought, and he won the battle. Now here we see Saul, and the Philistines followed hard up on Saul and up on his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan, which was David's best friend, and Abinadab, and Melchishua, the sons, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Now, we could get into some of the Hebrew meanings of these words, and they don't actually mean when it's talking about the archers or he was sore. It's talking about his ability, about his character and his nature.
Uh-huh. All right.
So what is if you research, you find out that what the Bible is telling us is that he had already lost the battle.
Uh-huh.
Because he was no longer the king of Israel.
That's right.
He was a coward of Saul.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He had decided that he could no longer fight the way he used to fight. But he was still the same size.
Uh-huh.
He still had the same strength. The only difference was he didn't have the same mindset to serve God.
Man, right.
So that was his big problem. Then says Saul unto his armor bearer, draw my sword. Don't that sound like a coward? Draw my sword and thrust me through with therewith. Lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. The word abuse me in the Hebrew means humiliate me. That means that they weren't going to kill him. They were going to punish him. So, the armor bearer said, I'm paraphrasing. Look here, fellow. I know you my king, but I'm not going to stick you. If you want to get stuck, you have to do it yourself. So the Bible says, Saul, in his infinite wisdom, decided to fall on the sword himself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Great man of God.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
How many times do we go through battles in life.
My Lord.
When God has already showed us that He's our King, He showed us that He's our strength, He showed us that He's our might, He showed us that He's our deliverer, He's showed us that He's our peace giver, He's showed us that everything that we have need of, He is that.
Right.
And then for some strange reason, we go through a certain trial that we've never been through before. We pass through a wilderness experience that we never been through before. All of a sudden, we're scared.
My Lord.
We don't want to pray about it. We don't want to believe God about it. Now we want to call somebody up and get some information from somebody. They're going to give you some information, all right. But it ain't going to be the God information you need to stand. So Saul, he just threw himself on his sword. And when David came back and found out, David was sore. He was sick. He just began to rip their clothes off. You know, that was the thing back then. Just rip your clothes off. Don't you say that, Pastor. So we have a choice. We can live for God, or we can live like cowards. Who wants to live like coward? Who wants to get to a point and then say, you know, let's say, I can't do this no more. After you've been through all the hell you've been through, now you decide you can't do it no more. Sorry, ladies. I mean, understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Let's go to Jeremiah. First chapter. I see, you know, normally I just get a group of scriptures and I stick with that group of scriptures. But God's been dealing with us about this. It's important that we see the different of the things that these guys have went through, but it all had the same storyline. So we're in Jeremiah, the first chapter. We're going to start with the fourth verse. Then the word of the Lord came up to me saying, before I formed, listen to this. This is God. This guy talking to him. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Meaning, look here, brother. When we were creating the earth in the beginning, I already knew who you were. I already knew your destiny. Already had it planned. Had it set up, purposed in your life.
My Lord.
I formed thee. In the belly, I knew thee. And before thou came forth out of the womb, I even sanctified thee. I only know two people that were sanctified before they came out of their mother's womb. John the Baptist and Jesus. Man, let God tell me that. I'm going to be running, what's that song? Run through the truth and leap over a wall. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to have to find me a true battle wall, Brother Tony. I sanctified thee. I mean, I set thee apart.
Yeah.
And then he says, and I ordained thee a prophet. Brother, you're still in your mother's womb, and I've already made you a prophet.
My Lord.
I've already, look here. He said, God said, I've already separated you from yourself.
Yes.
And brought you to me, and I called you, made you, dedicated you, a prophet of the Most High God.
Hallelujah.
And look what he has to say. Then said I, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. For I am a child. Now, when he's talking about child, he's not talking about being young. He's talking about being, he thinks he's inefficient. He's going to be unaffected. How many times have you been offered a job and you didn't take the job because you thought you couldn't do the job?
My Lord.
You thought you were going to be inefficient at the job.
My Lord.
Man, you offer me a job with about $60,000, $70,000 a year, I'm going to figure a way out.
Yeah.
I'm going to fake it till I can make it.
Amen.
You're not going to know I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to be the only one who don't know I don't know what I'm doing.
Amen.
But you gonna think I'm doing it right. Here he is talking about, he almost sounds like Moses.
Yeah, Lord, I can't talk. Yeah, amen.
Who cares you can't talk? All you gotta do is raise your staff. Somebody say, I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. What did he tell them? Be not afraid of their faces. For I am thee to deliver thee. I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Now, what more do you need?
Amen.
Why is there any cowardice in your life? And God said that he had done all this stuff. He performed the, listen closely. I'm finna hit you now. Put up your boxing gloves. What he's saying is, I formed thee. I'm listening. I formed thee. Whoever your dad is, didn't have nothing to do with who you are.
Amen.
I formed thee.
My Lord, my Lord.
Somebody gonna get that in a minute. It's only been two other virgin births. I formed thee. I knew thee. I dedicated you. I prepared you.
I proclaimed you.
I appointed you. I ascribed you.
Come on now. Amen.
All I need you to do is recognize
your
designated. My God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Let me tell you something. God tell you to do something. God gives you a word. You better do it.
Amen.
You know why we don't do what God tells us to do? Because we're worried about looking funny.
Amen.
We worry about somebody laughing at us. They laugh at me all the time. Man, I've been bowling so bad, I'm not sure I'm getting straight. I have a hallelujah. They read this ain't church. Man, bye. I'm church.
That's right.
There you go.
Yes, you are. Everywhere you
y'all got it twisted. I'm the church. And if I'm going to holler hallelujah, Pastor Hart, you can hear Pastor Hart at the golf course. How the hell did they? You know he done sunk one in the hole. And you know he done took all their money. We used to hear, Rick and I, we used to hear him all the time. He do something outstanding. He said, heavenly days! Heavenly days! You better give God his praise.
Amen.
Amen. I don't care what you're going through, what you're experiencing, amen, what's going on around you. So, Brenda, you could have been gave up.
Amen.
Amen. You could have gave up.
Amen.
We could have gave up.
That's right.
I really could have gave up. I'd be in Arkansas right now. But God said, no. That's not what I purposed for your life. Sister Angie, you could have gave up. Now look at how you look. Because you decided you was going to trust God and you wouldn't go cowardly out of the things that God promised you.
Amen. Amen.
Tyrone sitting back there making more hours than he ever made in his life. Because he didn't cower out. When they ask him, y'all don't understand.
Come on now.
How to say what Will Smith say, y'all just don't understand. God commissioned us
to
do a work for him.
Thank you.
And let me tell you something. Just because you're around folks that don't believe the way you believe, don't think like you think, don't want what you want from God, don't praise him like you praise him, don't mean that you allow your character and your nature to break down and be like theirs.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Anybody that allows their character and their nature to change because they're around a bunch of heathens is a coward.
Amen. Amen. Stand up and be a witness. Come on now.
Lord. Let's go to Jonah. Now we know Jonah's story. We know all about Jonah, don't we? He's so funny. And the problem with all this is God already dedicated all of them. Can you imagine hearing an audible voice from God? I mean, audible. And you know it's God.
Yeah.
And then you decide to do something totally different from what he asked you to do.
Uh-huh.
Because you're scared. Mm-hmm. Like he not going to get his due. First chapter. Now I'm going to read a little bit of this. I'm going to jump back and forth. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Now that God talking to him. Like he, you know, that's like I'm sitting next to El Torres. I'm talking to him. Look here, El Torres, I want you to get up, and I want you to go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Elder Torres decides, I'm going to get up, I'm going to Tarshish. If you want somebody to go, you go. I'm going to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it and to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He running from God.
When God
gives you a commandment, he gives you a dedication, he tells you to do something. If you run from his presence, you are a what?
Power.
All right.
That's y'all said it.
Amen. Mm. Amen.
Guess what? I have run a lot of times.
Amen.
God has told me to do things and spoke things in my spirit, and I decided I didn't want to do it, right? Because I felt like it was going to cost me more than what I was going to gain. But what I found out, what I lost, I wasn't going to never get back. So I decided from now on, if God said hang from the ceiling, I'm going to figure out a way to do it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on now.
Because I figured if I can hang from the ceiling, it's something in it. So here you're just choking and running, jumps on this ship. And these guys, I'm paraphrasing, these mariners were afraid. They cried, every man of the God cast forth wares. Everybody call on your own God.
Basically.
Everybody on this ship, if you got a God, call to it. I don't care who he looking like, what his name is, call to it. Because if you don't, we going to die. Well, you know, about this time, old Jonah decides he ain't having no part of that. So he goes down to the bottom of the ship. Because he knew that all this calamity that was take place on this ship, that were affecting all these other people, was because of his cowardice running from the presence of God.
So he
goes down in the bottom of the ship and hides.
Uh-huh.
But the guys decide, the captain said, you know what? Somebody's missing.
Come on now.
Where that guy at? That other guy. Somebody said, oh, Cap, he at the bottom of the boat. So captain goes down there, brings him up and said, who are you? Now you gotta tell him who he is. I'm a Hebrew. Oh, shoot. You done messed up now, Jonah. Verse 8. And said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? What do you do for a living? Anybody ever ask you that? What you do for a living? You know, like, you know, we like to have the bumper stickers on our thing, you know? And then, so you thinking somebody, so you say, well, when you meet them, you go, what do you do for a living? I'll do nothing. What church you go to? Man, that'll go go to church. Ain't nothing in church but a bunch of hypocrites. I said, they in your house too. So what's the difference? A hypocrite, the definition of a hypocrite is somebody that's hiding behind a mask. How many people you know hide behind a mask? You hide behind one.
Come on.
Oh, Lord. I'm getting in trouble. So, they asking, what's your occupation, man? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And what people art thou? They want to know now who he is. Where he come from, what he about, who sent him. You know why? Because they all know already that the gods they serve can't help them.
Amen. Amen.
They already know. Because they've been calling on their gods all the time anyway. And ain't nothing happened. So it's got to be somebody else on the ship that actually knows the real God. So he said to them, verse 9, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. Now you know they in the sea, right? he done told on himself.
Right.
The God I serve made the sea, and now they looking out at the water, and then they looking back at him. So your God made the sea. So is it possible that it's your God that got us in this tempest because you ain't supposed to be on this boat with us? Is that a possibility, sir? Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said to him, why hast thou done this to us? So Jonah's way out is, and he said unto them, cowardice, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Right. It's your fault.
Yep.
So they took Jonah. This is 15, verse 15. That's what you want, brother man? That's what you about to get. Because it's not our plan to die out here on this ocean. And then we have to get rid of you because you're running from your God who is causing all this stuff to transpire in the first place. You got to go. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. See ya. Guess what? The moment he hit the sea calmed down. But God said, I'm not through with you. I'm going to fix you for being a coward. I gave you power to go to Nineveh and speak a word to Nineveh that would either change them or destroy them. And you decided to run and hide from my presence. So I think this is so nasty that God sends a whale to swallow him up and he can't die. He in the belly of the whale and he can't die. Have you ever watched History Channel or in whatever and see when they open up the whales, what's in them whales? You think it's changed since then? Can you imagine being in the belly of that whale with all that dead stuff in there? Knowing that now you're thinking, all I had to do was go to Nineveh. You said to yourself, all I had to do was obey God.
Yep.
That's it. That's all I had to do was obey God. And you know what the problem is? If we want to blame him, we can't blame God because we have to take the responsibility for our own actions. We're there because of what we decided
to do. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Okay.
So we know all about that story. Well, I'm almost done. Hey, who gave Mom Therese? Not yet. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew, the 27th chapter. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, there's a lot of scripture you got me read today. Excuse me. 27th chapter. Our friend Judas. Judas is the ultimate coward. But you know what? I kind of feel kind of sorry for Judas. The reason I feel sorry for Judas, because that's what his life was about anyway. That's what he was born to do. Can you imagine being born to set up the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Can you imagine being born for that? Knowing that there ain't nothing you can do about it, but do what you're supposed to do. I kind of feel sorry for him. Couldn't get out of it. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, verse 27:3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. Now listen to me closely. It said he repented. When he brought, now 30 represents, silver represents redemption. 30 represents the power of God or the redemptive power of God. Meaning that when he threw back the money and repented, he could have made it to heaven then. He was good with God. Because if you imagine, folks that did all kinds of stuff to Jesus, you know. Beat the crap out of him, and he never uttered, he never said, never defended himself. He just took it. But Judas, I have sinned in, he's saying, I have sinned, verse 4, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. They said, look here, brother, you did it your own self. Don't blame us. Get on about your own business. It's a done deal. He done. My goodness. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and did what?
Hanged himself.
Hanged himself. Describes what took place in the consequence after it. Notes say he must have been hanged before he could fall forward. Now I'm going to show you something. Go to Acts 1 and 18. Mm-hmm. Book of Acts 1 and 18. See, when we talk about Judas hanging himself, we don't go see just how bad it was. 1 and 18. Everybody got? Amen. Now listen to this. 1 and 18. We're going to start with 17. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. He was with them all the time. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He received the same teaching. He was under the same anointing.
Yeah.
He was under the same anointing. Now, back in Matthew, it tells us that it's a possibility that the priest purchased the land that Judas died on. But here it says, now this man purchased a field. What man purchased the field? It could be kind of crazy because it sounds like in Matthew that it says that the scribes and the Pharisees purchased the land. But if you read more closely, they purchased a piece of land where people could die, like priests and scribes and those type of folks. But here it says, now this man purchased, meaning that he bought. You he buy it? Because Judas was the treasurer. Y'all didn't know that, right? He was Jesus' treasurer. And he was around the blind. Every chance he got. So it ain't like he didn't have any money. So you ask yourself, why would he take the 30 pieces of silver? That's because that's what his life was ordained to do. There are people that are around you, that are in your life, on your job, that you run into, that have been ordained to cause you mischief.
Yes.
To try to affect you in a way where it changes your character and your nature and steals you from God. Not being a coward, though, you don't allow them to separate you from your God.
Amen.
You don't allow them to change the character of the Most High God that's living in your life. You don't allow them to change the nature of a king that's in your life. Because you understand, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now let me break that down for you. That ain't talking about folks out there in the world. It's talking about your flesh is in the world.
Break it down, Pastor.
That means that the Christ in you, who is your hope of glory, is far more greater than this stuff that we live in, and you don't have to yield to it.
Amen.
Listen to this. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. Listen carefully. And falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, meaning in the middle. How many people you ever heard of who were hung, their intestines bust out of their guts? Meaning, and then all his bowels, his intestines, gushed out. And it was called the field of blood. Because when he hung himself, see, we think that after he threw the 30 pieces of silver down, that he immediately hung himself. No, he had to get to this field to hang himself. So it was some time that transpired before he got to this place to hang himself. And when he hung himself, his inward parts, his intestines, he absolutely exploded like somebody hit him with a stick of dynamite. All his intestines hit the ground, and guess what covered the ground? Judas' blood. It was everywhere. Now, years ago I had got a hold to a translation from Chicago. It was from the original writings. What's that book called? The Maserat. The Maserat Code. I had sent there, and they sent it to me. And the breakdown that they had in this book scared me. It scared me. Because it said that when Judas hung himself, the reason that his guts exploded the way they exploded was because hell reached up and snatched him and received him unto themselves. Now I know everybody think the devil in hell, but he ain't in the air. He the prince of the air. But there are demons that are in hell. And they reached up and snatched him. That's what this Greek Italian translation says. Ain't no one in the world. Been there. I almost cowered it out. Don't that got so bad, Sister Brenda, I was gonna take my own life. God sent them two women to find me on the side of the freeway. And it got that bad. Embarrassed, humiliated, didn't think I could go on. The very word that I had been teaching had come back to smack me. It almost destroyed me. And God said, who do you think you are? You didn't call yourself. You didn't choose yourself. You didn't anoint yourself. If you got caught up in your flesh, you got caught up in your flesh. Kill that mess and keep it moving.
Amen.
Because I was about to take a coward's way out. God don't want us to give up. He wants us to keep fighting. And my last verse is in Ephesians. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. I know we all read it. I got so many notes in here, I can't hardly read my own Bible. Sixth chapter. Let's start with verse 13. Now, we all know this. Let's do that. Let's do 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to do what?
Stand.
Listen closely. Against the wiles of the who? The devil. When it talks about wiles, it's talking about trickery. When it's talking about the devil is translated in the Greek, slanderer. How many folks have you had to stand against that's slandered your name? Try to destroy your character. Try to destroy what you stood for. Trying to make folks you what you knew you were.
Amen. Amen.
And you still had to stand anyway. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of what?
This world.
This world full of rulers. That are full of darkness. Because they haven't experienced the light.
Come on now.
And they don't like your light.
Come on now.
They don't like that you stand for God.
Amen.
They don't like the fact that you're not afraid to tell them that you love your God and how great He is.
Come on now. Come on now.
How wonderful He is. They don't like the fact that you can tell them God healed you of cancer. God delivered you of this. God healed you of something. They don't like that fact.
Amen.
Because the world has become so scientific. They want to take God and put Him in a box and say He isn't who He say He is. But I got living proof He is what He say He is.
Amen. Amen.
And you can't change my mind for no reason. My goodness. Wherefore, take unto you, listen closely, take unto you the whole armor of God. The word God here is translated theos. When you see the word theos, it means God in you. That means your armor is in you.
That's right.
Amen.
You can run around with a helmet on and a breastplate on and a sword in your hand all you want. But if you don't have the living God in your heart and in your spirit, you just run it. Take the whole armor of God, Theos, that ye may be able to do what? Withstand in the evil day. The evil day is period. It speaks of 24 hours between dawn and darkness. That means every day. Every day you live, God expects you to stand because we are in the evil days. We are in perilous times.
Amen. 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 Amen, Pastor.
We leave morning, we don't know if we're going to make it back that night. All we have is our faith and confidence in our God that He's got our front, our back, our bottom, our above.
Yeah.
That's why it says you cannot please God without faith. And I love that verse because when it says you cannot please God without faith, it's the word faith means pistis. That means a divinely implanted principle that's in your life. That means you can't please God if He can't look into your life and see Himself.
Woo! Jesus! Amen. Come on! Amen! Oh. Amen. Oh. Hallelujah! My God.
Jesus. And then it says, when all breaks out, and it looks like you don't have a chance, and there's no friends around to help you, the preacher's not answering your phone calls, pastor out of town, you can't reach him, people got bad advice for you, you have to do what? Stand. Having done all the standing, you have to do what? Stand. That means after you done exhausted on your way of standing, it's time to stand in God.
Come on now. Come on now. Amen, amen, amen. Amen.
You definitely have to stand in God. It says stand, therefore, having your loins girt. When it talks about your loins, it's talking about your waist. It's your strength. Girt about with truth. That means working fully, accomplished with the truth.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about the truth of God. The Bible says it won't set you free, but it will make you free. That's why people don't want the true word, because they don't want to be made free.
Come on now. Come on now.
They are perfectly happy accepting any kind of condition that they're living in, so they can blame it on the devil, blame it on their mother, blame it on their father, blame it on their genealogy, instead of just saying, Lord, we can't do without you. I got to have your help. I need you to come and live in my life and direct me and lead me and instruct me.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Trying to get through. With truth, and have you on the breastplate of righteousness.
Yeah.
Having means to invest the breastplate of righteousness. Right standing with God. What's your breastplate? Christ in you, your hope of glory. Christ in you, your hope of glory. That's your breastplate. Because there'll come a time when you'll hear the word of God and you'll be ready to give up and you done cried yourself to sleep and you done cried yourself away and your mind is just in shambles and your heart has been hurt and abused and things are just going on in your life and you will hear a word from God.
Yes.
And you will stand up on your feet, shake the dust off your feet and say, you know that what? Me, myself, through the power of God, I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. The word strengthened in the Greek means enable. God has enabled me to be an overcomer in the midst of trouble, be an overcomer in the midst of trial, be an overcomer in the midst of tribulation, be an overcomer in the midst of turmoil, be an overcomer in the midst of sickness. God has allowed me to be an overcomer. We want to be an overcomer when we have victory after the thing. God wants you to be an overcomer and have victory in the center of the trial.
Amen.
That's why he said, I'm on the breastplate of Christ. If you got right standing with God, better run this race.
Come on.
And then it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Yeah.
Why your feet? Because that's your walk. That's your walk in God. And when it talks about shod, it means to have them strong. And there's only one way your walk is strong in God, and that's by studying to show yourself a world, the work of the devil not be ashamed of God. And that means that you don't take somebody else's word, but what the word say, you find out for yourself. I always teach in this church, don't ever take my word for law. Get in this Bible and find out what God is saying to you. Because if you find out what God is saying for you, you get in the jam, you're not going to need me. Because you definitely going to feel the presence of God.
Amen.
And having, above all, taking the shield of what? Faith. It's translated life. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the, you notice the word is changed again, the wicked.
The wicked, right.
And the word, when it says quench all the fiery darts, is when it's talking about darts, yes, it's translated missiles. People are always shooting missiles at you.
Come on now.
They shoot Scud missiles at you. What are Scud missiles? That's the secret words that folks pass along about you, and they don't think you know that they're talking about you. What they fail to realize is that if you have Jesus in you, you have a prophet in you.
Amen.
If you have Jesus in you, you have an interpreter in you.
Amen.
If you have Jesus in you, you have a discerner in you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And if you have a discerner in you, well, boy. It don't matter. You know. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. See, God's word interprets itself. Take the helmet of salvation. You know what the helmet of salvation is? Your mindset. That means you have to change. What does the Bible say? Be ye transformed by the what?
Renewing.
Renewing. That means that stuff that's in your mind that's keeping you from walking into the full purpose of your calling in God, you got to separate yourself from it. Because we're not cowards.
That's right.
Amen.
We're children of the Most High God.
Amen, amen, amen. Come on, Pastor.
And God expects us to act like in spite of circumstances.
That's right. That's right.
I remember years ago when folks used to fast, you knew they were fasting because they were like, what's wrong with you? I'm fast. How long have you been fasting? About 3 hours. God says, when you fast, get up, wash your face, put a smile on your face, get some step in your step, and you ain't got to tell nobody that you fasted because you ain't doing it for them in the first place. You're doing it to God to kill your flesh. Most think they fast to get the anointing. You don't fast to get the anointing. You know what gives you the anointing? The hell you go through.
Yeah.
Oh, honey. Yeah. The trouble you deal with. That's when you stand in the midst of trouble, the anointing rises up in your life. That's the God in you telling you, you better run this race. You done stood already. Now keep standing. Show me, your God, that I'm in you and how powerful I am in your life. Stop whining, complaining, bellyaching, because things ain't going the way you think they should go. If they ever go the way you think they should go, you ain't going to be blessed. Look here. As things, the Bible says things have what will wax worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
But you know what the Bible also says? We shall get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. You know what's going to make us strong? Corporate anointing. And when we forget about who we are and realize that we're all a part of the same body with the same mindset, and we start speaking the same things, minding the same principle, and understanding that I'm your brother. Like Pastor, you say, I'm your brother. whether you like my looks or not. You, my sister, whether I like your looks or not. That's what God, that's corporate anointing. That means it's time for us to come together and unify. I'm talking about Methodists and Presbyterian and non-denominational and Baptists and late Baptists, early Baptists, history Baptists, all of us. You think that scripture Bible says one can put 1,000 but 10 can trust? You think that don't mean that has meaning?
Yeah.
And whether we realize it or not, we are coming together. Right. It ain't no devil. It ain't no flesh can stop us from becoming what God already predestinated in the book of Romans. I got something better for you. What he predestinated in the book of Genesis when he said we shall have dominion over all things.
That's right.
But we have to first learn how to stand and stop cowering away from trouble, trial, tribulation,
sin,
and stand up and do what God called us to do. Everybody stand.
Amen.
God